Good morning. First question today. What is your problem? And what I mean by that is, what is your thorn in the flesh? What is the thing that if you could change or get someone else to change, that your life would go a little better? Or maybe you think a lot better. If I just could do this or get someone to do that. If my boss would just this or that, or if my finances were just better. And have you ever noticed when we blame our finances for our struggles, I tend to say, well, if we had more money coming in, you know, we wouldn't have this problem. But isn't it funny how you look at the money going out, and that's actually the thing that you can quickly change, is the money going out. But anyway, so if our finances were better, if my parents would get off my back, if our kids would, you know, do what we tell them to, if my spouse would this or that, or if I had a love in my life, if I had someone to share my life with, fill in the blank. Don't we tend to do that? And we think, you know, my problem is this something outside of me is not the way I wished it was. And the irony, your greatest problem is actually you. And my greatest problem is truthfully me. In a word, it is selfishness. And so today we're going to talk about what we need, what we should do, what we should be, selfless. This time of year is kind of a complicated, complex time of year around the holidays. But with Christmas coming up, there's a lot of good about this time of year. And then there also come some challenges. And one challenge is this kind of idea of me. What do I want? And it's ingrained into us. And I think as children, what we do with our children with presents is good and fine. And it's not good and fine. Right? I don't know. We train them to want, and if I just had this thing, and then we live in a society where everything is marketed to us. You can't watch any show on television without every commercial bombarding you, telling you, you know, you'd really be happy if you had this. Mm-hmm. And it always amazes me, things that I need that I didn't know I needed until I saw that commercial. Boy, I need it now. And that starts at a young age. So overindulgence, the irony is that joy is not found through seeking it. This word binge, historically the word binge, usually people thought of, I think in our lifetime, we thought of binge eating. But basically binge is going for it. No breaks, no stops, no, right? No moderation. It's just full tilt. And eating, I know, we just came off of Thanksgiving, right? I've got some issues with eating. I need to get control of myself, church. I need to rein it in. But this idea of binge entertainment, binge watching shows, one after the other, after the other, after the other, does it give us joy? Ironically, it doesn't, right? It leaves us disappointed, maybe frustrated. And so true joy, we find, God tells us, is through giving. And Mark, flip to Mark 8:34, Jesus talking to this crowd, he's with his disciples, he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Jesus, he tells us to deny ourselves and we will gain everything with him. We think we can gain the whole world. We think we can gain, this kind of perfect paradise, our little corner of it in the world. But it doesn't usually work that way. Paul, in Galatians 2:20, and this is from New Century Version, Paul says, I was put to death on the cross with Christ, and I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. I still live in my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to save me. Galatians 2:20. I like the way that guy talks better than me. That's a good preaching voice right there. I do not live anymore. You do not live anymore. In Christ, we have died. That's what God tells us. When we surrendered at the foot of the cross, when we surrendered at baptism, we gave our life to Christ, and we said to God, I don't want this life anymore. And our struggle is we keep dragging that old body right out of the grave, and we keep trying to live that way, our way, the selfish way, and how foolish we are. We keep going back, right? The same, we double back to that old way of if I could just have it my way, and if people around me would just do better and quit being dumb, and however you want to phrase it, but if people would just da-da-da, then I would be a lot happier. And how untrue that is. Acts 20, verse 35 says, in all things I have shown you by working hard. In this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the point is, we need to be givers. And in today's sermon, when I talk about giving, I'm really not thinking about financial giving, although that applies. I'm just thinking about giving, thinking of others. How can I help someone else? When you go to an event, maybe a family get-together, when you go to work, how can I bless someone else? When you walk home and walk in your door at home, what's the mindset? Is the mindset what I want? Or is it, how can I bless my family? We need more givers. When my brother was here from Sacramento, a couple weeks ago, he's in the hospital. He's really in the hospital. But anyway, he's in the bed and I'm in the chair. And I'm hanging out with him there at the hospital while they're running tests. And he tells me this story. I've never heard him talk about this. Tells about his ninth grade year in high school. So he's a freshman in high school. And on campus, you know, he's kind of new to the high school. And as a freshman, you're kind of intimidated by all the upperclassmen and everything that's different. And he's an introvert. And he talked about one day he's coming out of this building and going to this other building, heads down, and he's just kind of minding his own business, walking by himself as he did. And a crowd of people, you know, other classmates kind of come and cross paths, and one of them calls his name and says, hello, hi, Eric, just says hi to him. He looks up, it startles him. He mumbles something and keeps walking, but what he noticed is the impact it had on him for someone to notice him, know his name, call his name, acknowledge him, and the fact that that actually made his day better. And from that moment, he learned a lesson in life, and that is, you know what, when you do small things for people, you can change their whole day. For him, it actually changed his life. And to this day, he tries to acknowledge people and interact with people and basically bless people in small, kind ways, knowing that's a big deal. We need more givers. And we find ourselves in cycles, and there's kind of good cycles and bad cycles. And the one we'll start on the left, the selfless cycle, gratitude is a part of this, being thankful, and we think about others and we try to bless others, and it's positive and it's selfless and it's good. And then we find this other cycle, this selfish cycle, where we're focused on us. We're entitled, and I would add to that cycle, we're disappointed, oftentimes disappointed. When I try to get what I want, church, I get disappointed. Right? Don't you? I get frustrated. And you find yourself in that cycle, and it just leads to more frustration, and it's a selfish cycle. 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul makes this statement. He says, all things are lawful. And what he's saying is, there are certain things, I could do this, these certain ways I could live, it's okay. It's not a violation of God's law. In and of itself, it might be lawful, but that doesn't mean it's helpful. Not all things build up. And then he says, let no one seek his own good, but the good of others. We're to be thinking about others. And then verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And that's a thought that's entire. Young people, that's not a thought that's ingrained in you, because as younger ones, you're often told to be your best, do your best, be the best. And that's fine, but God reminds us, you consider others more important. You think about others. Let others go first. Let others have their choice. Right? Bless others. Put others first. And in the new century, this reads, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. I remember a birthday a few years back. It wasn't that long ago. So I had a birthday. It's toward the end of the day. And on this day, I start to realize that this didn't quite go right. And that didn't quite go as I had planned. And after all, this is my day. And I only get one of these a year. And so I kind of start to become frustrated about a few things. And one of those things was, this one family member didn't even remember to get me a card this year. And I have to add, what's ironic about that is I really don't, cards are not a big deal to me. However, for some reason, I still found a way to list that in my pity party. So I'm kind of, going through some things. And long story short, it's just the day I had anticipated. This is not how the day turned out. And I was feeling sorry for myself. Which brings me to this question. What is it about birthdays that we feel so entitled to be indulged and pampered? What is it about us that we deserve something for the day we're born? And I understand the celebration of someone else, but when I'm talking about our day, right? It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. That, what is it? It's not just birthdays, church. It's not just birthdays. It's selfishness. I assume that we can all relate to that. At some point or another, we think, I'm not getting my way. In Romans 15:1, maybe there are times when you're tired of helping someone else, and Scripture says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. Do you ever get tired of helping people who need your help? The point of this verse is not that it's not that half of us are strong and half are weak. It's everyone is strong compared to someone. And then it'll change. Roles will change. They'll be maybe changing the same day, but there are times when someone needs your help and you can help. Sometimes we get tired of that, but we think, if I just had more me, I would be happier. And that's not true. The reality is, we need to care about other people. And givers care about other people. We need more givers, and this is a trait of givers. So I remind you, if you want pure joy, if you want more selflessness, dig deep into that part of you that cares about people. James 3:13 is a passage I've read this week and kind of stood out to me in ways that I had not noticed before. It starts out with this statement, who is wise and understanding among you? And I think that's pretty powerful in our current day, because people take a lot of pride in what they know. People take a lot of pride in their knowledge. And people argue in ways that show, like, listen, if you would just listen, I know you think you understand, but you don't, because I understand, because I know, because I have, right? I have knowledge. You just need to listen and you could gain some. That's a common attitude in our world. This scripture says, whoever of you thinks that you're wise and understanding, do this. He says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. If you think you're smart, or if you think you know, show it. Humility and service. If you think you have wisdom or knowledge, show it. Serve somebody. Humble yourself. Show meekness. Right? And I hadn't noticed that before. It's typically people who have knowledge or pride themselves on what they know, they want to tell someone. And God says, if you want to do something with your knowledge, get on your knees and serve someone. Right? Humble yourself. Help someone else. Do something for someone else. Here's the opposite. Here's what we do. He says, but you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast and be false in the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. It's pretty true. You put a bunch of people together who are trying to get their own way, and you're going to get a lot of problems. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And it stands out to me that when we follow this scripture, think about others, give to others, serve others, what we find is peace. One of the people in my life, throughout my life, that is, I've seen to be very selfless. My father thinks about other people. And in fact, my dad from a young age dad will always open the door. If we're going in someplace, he'll open the door for me. Now we're at a point where I try to, he's 77, and I try to open the door for him, but he and I just about butt heads anytime, and I can't untrain him to open the door, so instead of us knocking each other out, I just have to let him open the door. But that's how he is. That's what he does. He thinks of other people. He's been that way for as long as I've known him, and Dad will pray for people. Prayers are invaluable. Dad will be watching television show and be into it and pray for the people in the show until he catches himself and realizes, I'm just watching a show. These people really don't need my prayers. But that's how he is. We buy him things, want to buy him something for Christmas. It's difficult. He's very frugal and practical, and you buy him socks because he needs socks, and that sounds good until you realize he has new socks in his drawer right now. He's saving till he wears out some that are already wore out. He's frugal. Mom and Dad sold a rent house that we've been working on getting ready to sell, and sold that, and so we're able to pay off some bills and, kind of breathe a little bit again. And so Dad, what he splurged on with some of this money that wasn't available before, and what Dad splurged on is, you have to forgive me, he's not feeling well this morning, and I'm sure he's watching from home, Dad. Thank you for the illustration, but he splurged and bought a $13 air compressor you plug into your cigarette lighter to air up your tire, and your tire gets low because it's got a tire that's, right, slowly losing air. He doesn't think of himself much, and he also has a lot of peace in his life. Amen. Isn't that ironic? Yeah. When you focus on other people, other people, other people, you find peace. Psalm 119:36 says, incline my ear to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. We need that. You need to write this verse on your mirror at home, right? We need to put this needs to be put up in our house somewhere, looking after worthless things. Do you know where the presents are that your kids were so excited about 1 year ago? Do you know where they are? Do they know where they are? Can't find them. Don't use them anymore. But they caught our attention. how quickly we, right? We just chase after things that don't have meaning. But Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. And the NIV says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. John 10:10, do you remember this? Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And the point is, givers, if you want to be refreshed, become a giver. If you want to find life, become a giver. If you want joy in your life, become a giver. Think about others. Bless others. Give to someone else. Invest in someone else. Isn't that amazing? And we live in a culture that's all walking one way, and that one way is selfishness, and God says, listen, this way is better. It feels good to help. There have been countless times I've come to Monday Night for the Master, and I did not want to come. My humanness did not want to come. I was tired. Okay? Just did Sunday. This is Monday, next day, 6 o'clock. Listen, it's dark outside. I'm tired. I'm almost 50 years old. To you young folks, that sounds old, doesn't it? But every time without fail when I leave, I'm refreshed. Now, how does that happen? How do you come and give for 2 hours or an hour and a half, and then go home feeling better? And the answer is, it's the way we're designed. God made us, He created us, Scripture says, for good works. When you refresh others, you will be refreshed. It always happens. And in a world full of takers, church, I remind you to be a giver. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. You may have something from this lesson that's convicted you, or something on your heart that you'd like us to pray for you about. Maybe one this morning you've never given your life to Christ, never submitted, never surrendered. And we'd love to help you in any way, even helping someone to become a child of God in baptism. If you would come forward, please, while we stand and sing.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to. Thank you for love.